Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but thrive during these very, very uncertain times. Hi again and welcome everyone. This is Bob Louder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us again. It really is. Now, where are we going to be headed during our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, we're going to see how you and I as Christians, how we can get into a whole lot of trouble by being too close to the world and not nearly close enough to God. We're going to be talking about sayings that sound spiritual, but that are not found in the Bible. That means we're going to spend some time talking about religious folklore. Then you are going to discover the phony bank text scam that's going around that can cost you some really big bucks. Christian leadership author, teacher, trainer, mentor, and coach John Maxwell is going to be with us to share his thoughts on the word action. And then, finally, you are going to hear the very first of what's going to be a regular feature on this program. Today, we are going to have our first on-air interview with local small business owners and operators, service providers, and local officials. This is going to be fun. You're not going to want to miss it. As a matter of fact, you need to stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss a single minute of today's program. Now, as we start, as we always start, would you please join me in a word of prayer to make sure that the Lord is the one that you're going to hear from during the next 30 minutes? Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. Would you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to your glory in Jesus' mighty name? Amen. Okay. Now, during our times together, you have seen that we are really all about drawing heavily on the Word of God. And that being the case, it is time to switch gears for just a little bit. It is time to raise a warning flag. You see, it is time to make sure that we know that not everything that sounds spiritual is scriptural. There is quite a bit that we hear that falls into the class of what is called religious folklore. Now, what is religious folklore? Religious folklore, that's all of the saying. Those are all of the words that sound spiritual, but we're simply not going to find those saying those words in the Bible. It includes information that gets us into trouble when we are too close to the world and not nearly close enough to God. Now, let me give you a really, really good example, a real world example. Too many years ago, there was a middle-aged couple that came in for counseling, and I got to know them a little bit, and we were talking, and then pretty soon, I couldn't see where we were going, so I just simply said, hey, listen, what is it that I can do to help you? I mean, why are you here? Well, they explained to me that they had a great concern for their out-of-work son. He was an engineer. And he had been trying for quite a while to get a job. He couldn't get a job. And what he wanted to do, what the son wanted to do, was to borrow $50,000 from the parents to help, the son wanted to borrow $50,000 to help start a new business. And they wanted to ask me what I thought of the idea. Well, fortunately, prayerfully, I didn't jump in with all of my thoughts on the subject, and I had quite a few of them. Praise the Lord, I just kept my mouth shut. And I simply asked them if they'd prayed about it. And they say, yes, yes, we have. And so I asked them, I said, what did God tell you? And they said, that's why they were here to see me. They were confused because they had the resources to help the son, to give the son the $50,000 to start the business. As a matter of fact, this was a well-to-do couple. They could have written $50,000 check out of petty cash. But they were confused. They wanted to do what God's word had to say, and they were confused that God's word was telling them not to give the son the money. And I asked, why would that be? And the husband looked at me and he said, this is a true story. He looked at me and said, Bob, I don't remember exactly where it is, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to help me find this in the Bible so I can share it with my wife, share it with my son, because our family is being torn apart. I just want to do what the Bible says, what God wants me to do. Somewhere in the Bible, it says, never a borrower or a lender be. Oh, my goodness. Now, let me ask you, is that what God's word says? Never a borrower or a lender be? Is that what the Bible has to say? Well, the short and true answer is no, that is not what the Bible has to say. That saying does not come from the Bible. But it's one that we've heard. I'm sure you've heard it. But where does that saying come from? Well, I got to tell you, Ben Franklin came up with it, Poor Richard's Almanac. But actually, with a little bit of research, what we find is that it actually came up, it was presented many years before Ben Franklin, somewhere back in Shakespeare. You see, it sounds good, but it is not from God. It is religious folklore, and this religious folklore was absolutely tearing this family apart. Now we have already learned, have we not, that there is more to say in the Bible about money than any other single subject except the subject of love. I mean, I'm talking about 3,000 plus verses that talk about money, you know, how to make it, how to spend it, how to invest it, how to lend it, how to save it, how to give it away, and on and on. Now, if the Bible has so much to say about money, and it does, well, then why in the world would we want to spend some of our valuable time together talking about what the Bible does not say? Well, why? Well, because we need to begin to recognize our bad habits before we can move to replace them with good habits. You see, we need to be able to identify our worldly habits before we can see the need to replace them with godly habits. My friend, you see, we often get into trouble because we are entirely too close to the world, right? We do that. We're too close to the world. We get in trouble. But here we see that we also get into trouble because we are not nearly close enough to God. We need to discover more and more of what the Bible has to say about money. Now, personal opinion here, okay? I think, honestly, one of these days, another boy over there in the Israeli mountains, he's going to look into another cave, throw a rock into another cave. He's going to uncover another scroll, and it's going to be that long-lost book from the antiquities. It's going to be the book that is going to be known as the Book of First Opinions, okay? So let's share a little bit about what might be in that Book of First Opinions, right? Right from that infamous Book of First Opinions, we have some great examples of religious folklore. And to start off with, here's one. I am sure, again, a good example of religious folklore is God helps those who help themselves. I mean, you ever heard this? Sure you have. Is that what God's word says? Oh, no. My friend, he says, I delight in helping those who could never help themselves. You know, take a look at Ecclesiastes 9 sometimes when you get a chance. So that's, you know, God helps those who help themselves, religious folklore. Or what about this one? Money is the root of all evil. I mean, is that what the Bible has to say? Know it again. Again, it is not what Scripture says. This, my friend, this has to be, I got to believe this is First Opinions 1:1. This is probably the most misquoted scripture about money in all of the Bible. Now, what does the Bible say is the root of all evil? Right, I know you remember this. Paul did not say that money was the root of all evil. He said that it was the love of it that caused all of the problems. You see, it is not the money we have or do not have that we should be concerned about as much as our attitude about all that it is that we have been given. That's the principle of wealth and stewardship. Again, no. Money is not the root of all evil, and it is a great example of religious folklore. And here's one more, one last example of religious folklore for today, and it's a good one, and I'm sure you've heard it too. Have you ever heard this? That riches are the evidence of God's blessing. Have you ever heard that? Well, I'm here to tell you that according to the Bible, listen, riches may be an evidence of God's blessing, but riches are never the evidence of God's blessing. Now think about it. Think about it. Here's the fallacy in this piece of religious folklore. If you try and apply this saying, this criterion, to Jesus Christ, well, he simply doesn't measure up, does he? You see, Jesus was not rich in that he never accumulated material wealth. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says that the women helped pay his way. Okay? The women helped pay his way in his ministry. Now listen, don't ever get the idea that Jesus did not have to have money or had no reason to manage money while he was here on this earth. Mm-mm. Listen, he had to have money to be able to care for himself and those traveling with him, didn't he? Listen, he had enough money that he had to have a treasurer. Remember Judas? You see, Jesus did tell us that it is tough to be both rich and spiritual. Remember, it is harder for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And by the way, a little sidelight here. If you ever want to do a good word study, look up Needlegate, a wonderful, wonderful word study. Okay? Now Jesus, he also tells us to beware and be on our guard against every form of greed. For not even when a man has an abundance shall his life consist of his possessions. And Jesus gave us a very interesting parable to describe this, right? It's the parable of the sower. Do you remember it? Remember, Jesus said that the kingdom of God was like seed. And some of that seed, well, it could be sown among the thorns, which are the riches and pleasures of life. And then what happened? Well, the Bible says, and though the word was received with great joy in the beginning, the riches and pleasures of life grew and choked out the word. See, there was no fruit. Now let me ask you, has this ever happened to us? I mean, has this ever happened to you as a Christian? Hey, guys, listen, you married guys out there, do you remember when you were first in love with your wife? Do you remember that? I mean, you were so excited to be with her and to talk with her, and you went out on a date, and the first thing you did when you brought her home, you went back home and you called her on the telephone. That's when we had telephones. We didn't have cell phones or texts, but you called her and you talked to her in the middle of the night, right? You wrote her letters. Again, that's a long time ago when people wrote letters, but the idea is you just had to be with her. You were excited about being with her. You wanted to be with her every minute that you possibly could, right? Remember that? Well, now listen, let me ask you again, everybody here. Listen, remember, do you remember when you first found your love for the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember that joy that you had in the beginning? Remember that fire, that desire that you had to serve the Lord? Remember you talked and you prayed and you praised. I got to tell you, sometimes I'm hanging around a bunch of my Christian friends and I have somebody that will say something to me. Yeah, hey, Bob, listen, I still have the joy of the Lord in my heart. I'm just more mature now. Well, I got to tell you, when I hear some Christians talk about having the joy of the Lord in their heart, I feel like somebody ought to tell their face. You know what I'm saying? You see, sometimes I believe that we become much like the church at Ephesus, as described by Jesus in his revelation. Remember, Jesus said that they had lost the freshness and enthusiasm of their early devotion. Now, they were still loyal, they were still true, but they lacked the passion. You see, we start out with a passion for God, right? However, if we are not careful, our passion for God, well, it begins to cool down, doesn't it? And sometimes we allow our passion for the person of Jesus Christ to be replaced by, our passion, our devotion to our church. Maybe our denomination, our study, our rules and regulations, spiritual gifts, our commitment to God, maybe even our service to God. See, these are all well and good things, but none of them should ever replace our passion for the person of Jesus Christ. You see, for us, it could very well be that the riches and pleasures of this life have slipped in and have started to choke out our joy. Now, perhaps, just perhaps here, the solution for our lack of joy is more maturity, not more money. And by the way, sometimes I got to tell you, sometimes in coaching sessions, I have people come up to me and talk to me, and they say something like, "Hey Bob, I don't have any riches and pleasures, and I still don't have any joy." Well, remember, my friend, joy is a function of attitude, not the amount or the value of what you've been given. Now, true, shortages and debt, man, they can choke out your joy. But the key is for you to focus on God and not your circumstances, okay? So no. Riches, well, they are never the evidence of God's blessing. They may be an evidence, but they're not the evidence. So you see, my friend, this is religious folklore. And can you see how these sayings can get us into trouble? Like that poor couple that came in to me and their family was being divided because they knew that the Bible said something that it didn't say. It is important for us to be so close and so deep into God's word that a lie is readily apparent, okay? That's religious folklore, and it's an awful thing to have happen and come up into our life. My friends, there is a new bank text scam that's popping up in recent Better Business Bureau scam tracker reports. This time, it seems that con artists are impersonating your bank. Here's how the scam works. You receive a telephone text message that looks like a fraud alert from your bank. It claims that there has been some unusual activity on your account. As a matter of fact, the text may read something like, "Bank fraud alert. Did you recently approve a transaction for $1,000? Reply yes or no." Okay? Now, what happens is if you reply to that text, the scammer now knows that they have an active phone number and a person to scam. And what they're going to do is they're going to give you a call. They're going to get in touch with you. Okay? And when they do, that number is going to appear in your caller ID as if it was coming from the bank. And when you answer, that caller is going to claim to be the bank representative who can help you stop the fraudulent charge by verifying your account. All you're going to have to do is to simply send some money to yourself using a digital wallet application. And what happens is that the caller walks you through the process of connecting your app to the bank account, and then they're going to ask you to verify the connection by sharing the code that your bank just sent you. Oh, my goodness. And if you do, guess what? Then the scammer can set up an account with your phone number, your email, and put their bank account information in so that when you send money to yourself, you're actually going to be sending it to the scammer. Oh, my goodness. Now, that's what the scam is and how it works, but how can you avoid it? Well, first of all, very simply, ignore any kind of instructions with a yes-no reply requested. If you receive an unsolicited text message, even if it appears from your bank. And second, well, if you do get that, and if it is from your bank, call the bank. Call them based on the phone number you have on the back of your ATM or on your bank statement. Give them a call and check it out. And finally, never ever share even one-time passcodes with anybody for anything. Scammers can often use one-time passcodes from your bank or any other company to access your accounts and change your information. So simply don't share them with anyone, no exceptions ever. Okay? So there you have it, all you need to know to avoid the bank text scam that's going around. Okay, it is time again for one of the highlights of all of our times together. That means it is time for yet another Minute with Maxwell. As Christian pastor and leadership author, teacher, trainer, mentor, and coach, John Maxwell shares with us his thoughts on the word action.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome with Minute with Maxwell today. I want to talk to you about action. I want to talk to you about doing something. Something probably that you know you need to do, but you just haven't done it. It's so easy for us to think about taking action and talk about taking action and not taking action. And no one has ever thought themselves in the area of action that ever got a return. Nobody has ever postponed action and got a return today. Nothing happens until we act upon it. I call this action attraction, which basically means that the moment that I do take action because I know who I am and I know what I want, then my mind will think things that will attract the things that I need to have. My words will say things that will attract the things I need to in my life. My hands will do things that will attract what I need in my life. In other words, the moment I take action, I gain traction. And the moment I do that, the return starts to come to me. We have never thought our way into greatness. We have never waited our way into greatness. We have always acted our way into greatness. That's what I want for you today. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.
Oh, my, now there is another great word from John Maxwell, action. I mean, is there something you've been holding off doing? You've been holding off, but you know you need to get it done? Well, according to John, the more you wait, the longer it's going to take to happen to get started. John tells us that great things are going to happen as soon as we learn to take action. Thank you, John Maxwell. My friends, we have something really special for you right now. As you know, healthcare, well, it's got to be at the forefront of many of our concerns today, right? I mean, your family, my family, there is oh so much more we need to know about our physical health. That's true. But what about our emotional health? Our emotional health. Did you know, for example, that we have some outstanding mental health folks right here in our Lake Chetuge area? Today, we have Casey Claire on the phone with us from ITP Services in Hiawassee to tell us all about it, okay? Casey, listen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having us. I greatly appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, listen, I know, because I know you, that ITPS stands for In Truth Psychiatric Services. But
correct.
But please, how about sharing with us exactly what those services are that you offer?
Great. Well, In Truth Psychiatric Services provides mental health support for our clients utilizing the accessibility of video telemedicine. Now, we offer personalized age-specific care, such as like individual, couples, and family psychotherapy, mental health assessments, and also medication management. And the great thing is our use of video telemedicine allows patients not only in Georgia, Florida, and North Carolina to have access to the premium care that we offer, you know, whether they live in a rural community or like the busiest of metropolitan areas, you know, care that really helps people discover, reinforce, and utilize their strengths, all from the comfort and convenience of a location that they choose. You know, we also offer professional collaboration and referral options for medical and mental health providers so that a higher quality and efficiency of services can continue to build and enrich the mental health care industry across the board.
Wow, I didn't realize you guys had that kind of an outreach. That's awesome, Casey. Hey, but,
yes.
But listen, you said something about age-specific considerations. I mean, what ages of folks do y'all serve?
Well, ITP serves all age groups from about 6 years old and up, and we do have team members with a wide range of experience, child, adolescent, mental health, as well as those who have specialized in working with older adults. They support individuals and even their caregivers, you know, that may be impacted by dementia and other age-related issues.
Wow, Casey, I mean, that is a full range of services, but hey, listen, this is a financially based radio program, right? So I got to ask the financial question. What about insurance? I mean, are your services included in most medical insurance plans?
Well, the wonderful thing that we have seen happen is that many insurance companies are seeing mental health support as something that needs to be accessible to everyone across the board. So many people do have that available in their individualized policies, but of course, everyone is specific to that. We also, you know, on our website, one of the things that our company has attempted to do is to be constantly expanding with the providers that we are in network coverage for. So we are seeking to continue to add so that we can cover as many people that are in need as possible.
Wow, that's awesome. What if some of our friends, maybe some of our family members, what if we feel that they feel they may need some help, you know, some of the services that you guys offer? I mean, what if we have questions? How do we start? I mean, how do we find out more about you and all that you do? Is there a best way to contact you guys?
Well, we do have, if somebody wanted to call and ask questions, our phone number is 470-480-9512, and we are staffed with amazing people that will be able to assist as much as possible. But to get things started, all you would have to do is to go on our website, which is www.intruthpsych.com. And right on our homepage, you'll see a button that says appointment scheduling. And when you click that button, there are instructions listed that can walk you through the process of completing our online enrollment forms, as well as scheduling that first appointment, which is typically an initial evaluation with one of our qualified licensed staff members. And our staff are not only fully qualified to provide services, I want people to know they also provide quality services. And when I say quality, Bob, I want you to know that not only will people be interacting with providers with extensive experience, but they can be receiving care from individuals that aren't going to make them feel like they're just a number meeting the quota for the day. I will say one of my favorite things that I've encountered working for this company is being able to respond to client reviews that have shared some amazing compliments, where people have said, the care that I'm getting is so personalized. And I've been able to get to the root of some very specific issues, and I feel like my life is getting back under control. And it just makes me thrilled, because our founder, Dr. Wesley Siebold, he established ITP with a focus of truly equipping clients for success. And the goal is to elevate lives by enabling minds. And that's what we see happening.
Casey, that is awesome. And by the way, congratulations. I mean, congratulations for all the good work that you and your team are doing at In Truth Psychiatric Services. And you talk about meeting a need, especially during these stressful days. Oh my goodness. So please know that all of us out here in the Lake Chetug area and beyond, man, we appreciate all that you do and the professional and personal way in which you do it. And by the way, please know that our Chetug Community Prayer Force is going to continue praying for you every month, all month long. Okay, so
great. Thank you.
We lift you guys up in prayer. And now as we close, I want to remind our audience that you can reach In Truth Psychiatric Services at 470-480-9512 or on the internet at www.intruthpsych.com. That's www.intruthpsych.com or 470-480-9512. Casey, thank you so much for being with us today and sharing with all of us how all of the fine folks at In Truth Psychiatric Services work so hard to serve our community. Boy, this has been another great time together. Recall you learned how important it is to stay away from religious folklore, all of those sayings that sound scriptural, spiritual, but they're not going to be found in the Bible. You discovered all about that phony bank tech scam that's going around. John Maxwell shared with us his thoughts on the word action. And you just learned how In Truth Psychiatric Services is such a tremendous help to our mountain communities and beyond. And remember, you can either re-listen to or get a transcript of this program at our website at www.christianfinancialministries.org. Father God, I want to thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we're going to see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.